Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about the Passion reading that we just heard. And I would like to talk to you particularly about the two criminals, as it puts it here. And I would like to talk about this, that God has died for his enemies, whether we like it or not. So just talking to the kids right now reminded me of another domestic story. I'm sure you just can't get enough of hearing my stories about my household. But anyway, this is just another domestic story that's come to my mind. I've maybe mentioned it before, but it just seemed appropriate right now. So when our daughter was about maybe, I don't know, two or something, and again, I've probably told some of this before, but it's very connected to Luke's understanding of Jesus' mission and his passion. So when our daughter was about two, we had a very small house in Winnipeg. It was about 950 square feet or so, and we would often, as you do with little kids, you'd often play hide-and-go-seek. So we played hide and go seek with her quite often. And then one day, in this very small house, and we had a yard around it, it was a nice little yard. One day, we were playing hide and go seek, and we couldn't find her. And I don't, if you've ever had very young children, you'll recognize this feeling, like when you can't find your child in a mall, for example, or in a store, or somewhere. Or it's after church sometimes, for example. This happened to us fairly often, is you cannot find your little kid. And what is the feeling that you have? Anybody recognize that feeling? A lot of different feelings, apparently. Did somebody say relief? No, I think you said... is panic the word you're looking... Did people say panic? Yeah, you feel the sense of panic, right? I mean, maybe it's a bit irrational. But it's very instinctive, right? When you have the care of a young child and you can't find them, you have this sense of panic. So we were panicked, and we looked for her. We looked for her throughout the house, in great detail. We had our little yard with trees in it, so we looked there in the yard. We looked in the back lane. I can't remember where else we looked. We probably looked on the street. We couldn't find her anywhere. And as you were saying, the sense of panic increased and increased. We finally found her. We'd been calling the whole time. Mary Kate, Mary Kate, Mary Kate. And we finally found her. She'd hidden herself in the closet among the clothes hanging in the closet. And she was very little, hid herself very well. And she said, and we said to her, we were calling and calling. Why didn't you come? And she said, well, I thought I was supposed to hide. Like, oh, yeah. Kind of what the game's called, I guess. the reason I think of this is, again, as I mentioned, this is very much the theme of the Gospel of Luke. You can think of stories, for example, like the woman who's searching for the coin that she's lost in the house. You can think, speak again of sheep. You can think of the Jesus example of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to look for the lost sheep. You can even think, as we read more recently, even of the story of the prodigal son, where the father, while he's not actively searching for the son, in that sense is actively scanning the horizon for him. And one great theologian says, in a way, actually, he was with the son the entire time while the son was lost, and we can think of him as going out and vigorously searching for him. The way we can make this story less powerful, the story of the two thieves beside Jesus, the way we could make it less powerful is the way I have often read it, so pointing fingers at myself, is to think of one of the thieves as the good thief and one of the thieves as the bad thief. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what Luke says. Luke uses the same word for both of them, and the word is in the original language, doers of evil. And evil's evil in the strongest sense of the word that we would use it. It's evil. They are ones who do evil. It's not like, what's that old movie with Bing Crosby where he plays a priest and he goes, oh, and there's no such thing as a bad boy. It's not like that. These are doers of evil. And Jesus is crucified between two doers of evil. And he is amongst people who are crucifying people, and they themselves are doers of evil. So he, God the Son, and this is very important for us to remember, I don't mean to repeat it over and over again, is that when we say the Son of God, we mean God the Son. We mean Jesus is God. So when we say that Jesus died for our sins, it is God himself who died for our sins. It's very clear. So God himself has placed himself among evildoers. He has searched despite the running away, and he has found. And then there's this little detail in the Gospel of Luke. I don't know if you heard it or not. It says, at Jesus' death, the veil of the temple was torn in two. Did you hear that part? And there's a kind of a symbol there. And the symbol is this. Whatever was going on in the Holy of Holies before, now we can see it. And what we can see is, we can see into the heart of God himself. And what do we see into the heart of God himself? That God is a just God who judges evil, who stands against it, and who suffers for that evil himself. So think of it this way. Say you're in court and you've been charged with something and you're standing in front of, I don't know if anybody has been in court, it's very intimidating, right? You're standing in front of the judge who, if he's a male judge, you must call him my lord, like it's a very formal thing. You're standing in front of him, and that you've been convicted, and the judge is sitting at his bench, and he says, yes, you have been found guilty. Here's your punishment. And then the judge gets off the bench, runs in front of the bench, pushes you out of the way, and says, and I'm taking the sentence on myself. That's what we're talking about here. Jesus, the righteous judge, places the judgment on himself, whether we like it or not. So whatever this one criminal, doer of evil, saw, it wasn't because he'd been on some kind of a, you know, it wasn't because he was been on some kind of a spiritual journey. It's because he saw into the heart of God. And what he saw in the heart of God is that God has pursued us so consistently, and that even when we have refused him and do not want it, he said, I am taking your place whether you like it or not. That's what he saw. Nothing he did. He wasn't a good thief. He hadn't done anything right. He hadn't, you know, none of this stuff. No Bing Crosby stuff. He simply saw into the heart of God that God, whether he liked it or not, had come and found him, and there was nothing he could do about it. So St. Paul rightly says, we, as our rector and others can testify, many of us spend many years studying the theology of atonement, especially Lutherans. They spend a lot of time in the theology of atonement. And there's many theories. Like, what does this mean? Like, how can we explain this? You know, what are all the, how does this work, right? How does this work? That Jesus, the righteous judge, who is God himself, took on our sins for us and took our judgment on himself, and now we're free? How does that work? And we come up with all these theories, and then, but we really have to go back to this words of St. Paul, which is, this is a stumbling block to the Hebrews and foolishness to the Greeks. And he goes, I don't know. I don't understand how this works. All I know is that this is the wisdom of God and that it's true. We know it's true and we sense it's true because God has given us a picture behind the veil into his own inner life and simply says, I found you. I know you lost yourself and you wanted to hide, but like it or not, what do they say when you're playing hide and go seek? Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. And that he has found us. So for me, you know, I read all these theories and they're of great value, but for me to understand what this means, there's one place that I've always turned that helps me to understand it. And it's not necessarily the world's greatest theologians, although they're helpful. It's a hymn that helps me understand it. And it's this. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the King of Glory died, my richest gain I count as loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, deserves, demands my life, my soul, my all. Like it or not, here he comes. Let's pray. Jesus, we confess to you all the ways that we have run from you. From the beginning of human creation, all the ways we've run from you. To our own hurt, Lord. We thank you that you have never given up on us. And in you, God the Son, true God, you have searched for us, you have found us. You have judged yourself on our behalf. You have found us and you have set us free. Unto you, the only wise God, unto the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.